Welcome back to the Fulton County Gospel News Podcast. My name is Barry Odell, and I am your host. Fulton County Gospel News is a bi-monthly publication of The Church of Christ in Mammoth Spring, Arkansas. And if you'd like to learn more about our paper, visit our website, mammothspringchurchofchrist.com, and there you can find all the information you'll need about the paper. You can get it for free. Subscription's always free. You can get it as a PDF in your email, or you can get a hard copy through the United States Postal Service. Let us know what we can do for you, and we'll be happy to add you to one of those mailing lists. Also, if you've not yet subscribed to our podcast on Podbean, go to podbean.com, search for Fulton County Gospel News, and become a follower. Find us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page for the podcast. It's called Fulton County Gospel News Podcast. Like and follow that. And of course, you can also find us on Facebook on or at Church of Christ at Mammoth Spring. Like and follow that page as well. So today I'm not going to read an article to you. Rather, I'm going to respond to a response to my last podcast, which incidentally was a reading of an article. The title of the article that I read was, I think it was something like The Church in Prophecy or A Prophecy of the Church or something like that. And so what I typically do is I'll read an article from a past edition of the paper, and then I'll publish it and I'll share it on all sorts of Facebook pages. And I shared it in a group on Facebook called Why I'm a Member of the Church of Christ. And the first comment that I got was, "The church was not the subject of prophecy." Well, throughout a discussion on that Facebook page, I learned that the individual who made that comment was a premillennialist. They believe, of course, in general, now I'm just generalizing here, but premillennialism believes at large that the church and the kingdom are two different institutions. Premillennialists, by and large, believe that the first time Jesus came to earth, he came to set up his kingdom, but since he was rejected by the Jews, the church was set up. And then when he comes back again, he's gonna reign on earth for 1,000 years, and that's when his kingdom, the Davidic throne, the Israeli kingdom, let's say, will be established in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And so premillennialism holds that the church and the kingdom are, that while they're connected, in a sense, they are two different entities. The church is not the kingdom. The kingdom is not the church. The church is now. The kingdom is not yet. So we had quite a discussion on Facebook going back and forth about various points, but his overall premise was the church was not the subject of Old Testament prophecy. So that's what I want us to talk about today for just a bit. And what I want to start talking about is that word church. Of course, we're familiar with it if we've studied our Bibles, particularly if you're a member of the Churches of Christ. This is a subject that we talk about a lot because it's so integral to all of Scripture, not just the pages of the New Testament. But this word ecclesia that is translated, if I counted correctly, I think 117 times in the King James Version, twice it's not actually referencing the Lord's church. For instance, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 38, Stephen talks about the congregation. I like the way the New King James does it. The King James calls it the church in the wilderness. The New King James, in its rendering, there in Acts chapter 7, as Peter was talking about the Israelites in the wilderness, uses the English term congregation, and I think that's better. And I can't remember the specific text, maybe it's 1 Corinthians 9 or something like that, but anyway, Paul said that he referenced robbers of churches. Well, that's not the Greek term ekklesia, that's a different term, but the King James used the word churches for whatever reason. Anyway, the word church is used well over 100 times, ekklesia, well over 100 times in the pages of the New Testament. And here's one of the things that we need to understand. The word church is only used 3 times before Acts chapter 2, and only by Matthew, used in Matthew 16:18, where Jesus promised to build his church. So it was at that point in time, a future entity. And then we see the word ecclesia, thus translated as church, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 17, and it's actually used there twice. So 3 times in the gospel accounts that word is used, and we don't see it again until Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. And I realize that some versions in Acts 2:47, instead of reading that the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved or those who were being saved, some versions simply read that the Lord was adding to them daily as they were being saved. Well, there are some textual differences. You look back at old manuscripts, some manuscripts have ecclesia and some don't. Either way, the Lord was adding to the church, and then you get to Acts chapter 5, and you have the church, and throughout the rest of the book of Acts, and of course the epistles, we read about the church repeatedly. So 3 times before Acts chapter 2, and 114 times after Acts chapter 2. And the thing is, again, there in Matthew 16, 18, the church was prospective, okay, spoken of as in the future. I will build my church. And Acts chapter 2 onward, it's always spoken of like in the past tense or as a present reality. Okay, the church is here. The church of God, which is at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, for instance. So, obviously, we need to have a good understanding of the church because it is such a prevalent topic throughout the New Testament. But the question we are seeking to answer is, was the church a subject of Old Testament prophecy? Because premillennialism says, no, it was not. The kingdom was, but the kingdom failed in the first attempt, and so the church was then established to, you might say, hold its place until Jesus comes back to establish his kingdom. And here's my thought on that. If he came the first time to earth and his purpose was to establish his kingdom and it failed, what then is preventing it from him coming back the second time to set up his kingdom and it failing again? What, you know, if not, why not? If it happened the first time, why can't it happen again? So anyway, that's kind of another discussion for another time. But I want us to answer the question, was the church the subject of Old Testament prophecy? And I suppose there are a lot of different passages we could look at, but I'm going to start in Acts chapter 2, where we have the record of the church being established. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you this. The same individual on that Facebook post who responded to my podcast said that he didn't believe the church was established in Acts chapter 2. He didn't believe the church was established until Paul came along and preached to the Gentiles. Well, the fact of the matter is, you have the church mentioned from between Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10, where, for the first time, you have the gospel going to the Gentiles and Gentiles obeying the gospel. So his argument falls apart on multiple levels. But, be that as it may, are there scriptural references in Acts chapter 2 that can point us to the Old Testament to show that the church was indeed a subject of Old Testament prophecy? Well, you start reading in Acts, and I know this is kind of jumping, just, you know, we're jumping right in the middle of a context, something else that's already been going on, but we jump into Acts chapter 2, and we start reading in verse 1, and we read that the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place. Well, to know who the they was, we have to know the antecedent to that. Well, you go back to Acts chapter 1 and verse 26, and it says, and he, talking about Matthias, was numbered with the 11 apostles. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one. So obviously that's a reference to the 12. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they apostles, were sitting. Then there appeared to them apostles, divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them apostles. And they apostles were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them, apostles, utterance, or the ability to do so. So we have the miraculous outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus promised. You go back to Acts chapter, let me turn back a page here. You go back to Acts chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. Jesus tells them to not leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise from the Father. Well, what does that refer to? Which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The promise from the Father is told to us right there. It's a reference to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, number one, was only administered by Jesus Christ. We know that from John chapter 1 and verse 33. And it was always only spoken in terms of a promise. Now, there is another baptism that's talked about in terms of a command in the New Testament. Holy Spirit baptism was always in terms of promise. So anyway, flip back to Acts chapter 2 here. They're in Jerusalem, like Jesus says. They're waiting for the promise from the Father, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we see happening there in Acts chapter 2 in verses 1 through 4. You have these beginning in verse 5 in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, and they heard them speak in their own language, verse 6. That word language there in verse 6 and also in verse 8 is the Greek term dialectos. This is a known human language. This is not some ecstatic utterance or heavenly language. This is a human language that the people knew. And the people were amazed, Acts 2 and verse 12. And their charge was, hey, these guys are drunk. And here's what Peter had to say about that. Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. Okay, here we go. Is the church the subject of Old Testament prophecy? The word's only used three times before Acts 2, and after Acts 2, it's used 114 times. All right, what do we have to, what do we read here? This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Okay, folks, last time I checked, Joel is an Old Testament prophet. What did he have to say? And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my manservants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's Acts 2, verses 14 through 21. And again, this is Peter's response to, hey man, what's going on here? These guys must be drunk. Peter cites an Old Testament passage in reference to what they were experiencing on that day. In fact, you have the phrase poured out in verse 17 and in verse 18, and then you get down to Acts chapter 2 and verse 33, later on in what we call Peter's sermon. Acts 2:33 says, Therefore being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father, listen, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this. Okay, so the pouring is related to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had given this ability to the apostles to speak, Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. So Acts 2:33 says, The promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, notice, which you now see and hear. And so Peter's sermon is really from verse 14 down through verse 36. Verse 36 says, Then let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And to me, it seems that what we have marked as verse 37 in our English Bibles is like an interruption. Okay, Peter's saying all these things, and then as he's saying that, they say, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Okay, since everything you're saying is backed up by Scripture, and Peter repeatedly quotes Scripture here, by the way. Acts 2, 17 through 21 is a quote from Joel chapter 2. Verses 25 through 28 are a quote from Psalm chapter 16. Verses 34 and 35 are a quote from Psalm 110. So Peter is backing up everything he's saying with Scriptures from the Old Testament. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to basically just cut to the chase here. That's what they're told to do. You skip down to verse 40. With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day there were about 3,000 souls added to them. And then you skip down to verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. For the most part, the last couple of minutes, I've been reading the biblical text to you. I've been showing what Peter said. I've been showing you specifically the Old Testament references from Joel 2, Psalm 16, Psalm 110. And you have people responding to what Peter had to say. And those that gladly received his word were baptized. And then you get down to verse 47. And to what were they added? Well, they were added to the church. This is the first time in biblical history where you have this taking place. Prior to Acts 2, the word church is only used three times, only by Matthew. After Acts 2, it's used over 100 times, but it starts here in Acts 2. To say that the church was not a subject of Old Testament prophecy is to deny read the text. It's to deny what the text says. The church began in Acts chapter 2 in fulfillment of the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, it wasn't just Joel that promised an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus did that same thing. John, in fact, John the Baptizer said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming later. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus applied that to himself, and he told his disciples, go to Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father, wait until you're endued with power from on high. That's, you can find that in Luke 24, 47 through 49. So it's not just that it is in the Old Testament scriptures, but you have John and you have Jesus who are saying the same thing. These miraculous events, the speaking in tongues, the fulfillment of these prophecies from Joel 2, Psalm 16, Psalm 110, they are all in connection with what Acts 2:21 says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's interesting. We learn right there what that means. Right here in Acts chapter 2, a lot of people believe that calling on the name of the Lord means praying to him for salvation. That's not at all what it means. Okay, so Peter quotes Joel here, and it includes Joel 2:32. In Acts, it's Acts 2:21, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts 2:37. Repent, and let every one of you be baptized for the remission of sins. Calling on the name of the Lord shall be saved is parallel with repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. You cannot be saved before your sins are remitted. You have to be washed away from you have to have your sins washed away from you. And Peter says it's repentance and baptism. Repent, baptize. Those words are connected with and, a conjunction that joins two together. And those that gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So here's our question. Was the church the subject of Old Testament prophecy? Absolutely. And just right here in Acts chapter 2, again, we have Joel 2, we have Psalm 16, and we have Psalm 110. Now, there are a lot of other passages in the Old Testament that are referencing a kingdom that would be established. Isaiah 2 says that the word of the Lord would go forth from Jerusalem in the last days. Daniel chapter 2 and Nebuchadnezzar's dream says that there would be a kingdom of God set up in the days of a fourth world empire, which we know as the Roman Empire in Daniel's context. And then, of course, you have Joel chapter 2. Micah chapter 4. Micah was a contemporary with Isaiah. You read Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. To say that the church was not a subject of Old Testament prophecy is to deny the evident. It's to deny what is right in front of your face. But here's the interesting thing. For this person to say that, and then as our discussion proceeded on Facebook, I learned that he's premillennial. Okay, again, he believes that the church and the kingdom are two different institutions, and so he says, well, yes, the kingdom was prophesied in the Old Testament, but not the church. But here's what we have to understand. The church and the kingdom are one and the same. That's the point of Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. And that's the point of the fact that Jesus is the head of the church and he's the king of the kingdom. It's just like Acts chapter 2 and verse 33 says, he's been exalted to the right hand of the Father, and he has received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is reigning now. So if the kingdom has not yet been established, then he can't be reigning now. If there's no kingdom, there's no king. If there's no church, there's no head. But Christ is reigning now, and Christ is head of the church. Remember, church used three times before Acts 2, used 114 times after Acts 2, and every time after Acts chapter 2, it's spoken of as a present reality. Is the church the subject of Old Testament prophecy? You better believe it. All right, well, thanks again for listening today. Again, if you would like our paper, visit our website, mammothspringchurchofchrist.com, and tell us what we can do for you. Subscription's always free. Subscribe to our Podbean channel. Follow us on Facebook. Help us get God's word out in any way that you can. Thanks again for listening today, and I will catch you on the next episode of Fulton County Gospel News Podcast.